Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this podcast episode, we're going to have a look at government grants. We got a lot of questions from the recent federal budget where they gave certain incentives for those who are building to rent. So it's something that big developer Mirvac have recently taken on board as a niche in the market. So building to rent will help solve the affordability crisis and the rental crisis, with rents going through the roof, inflation, everything else that's going on. So governments, if you're helping them help other people, they want to incentivize that. So in the recent budget, build to rents are attracting a discount in terms of the tax payable from 30% to 15%. Similarly, there are other areas of the housing market where if you can fill a need in the market, the government will reward you or assist you, or there'll be some sort of incentive there for you. So where better to look for more information about that than our own community? Lisa is going to join us. You may have heard Lisa on other live streams, but she's done a little bit of development and work herself, as well as in her day job, around the area of government grants. Hi, Lisa, and welcome.
Hi, Dom. Thanks very much for having me today.
Thank you for coming. So, Lisa, what's your background? What's your day job that you came to be aware of government grants?
Back a few years ago, when I was employed by state government in Western Australia, I was a senior project officer for Department of Regional Development, and we managed the Royalties for Regions funding government grants on a state level across Western Australia, and that was funding to the tune of $1 billion per year from mining royalties. So that what we used to do is, or what my job was receiving applications for grants, reviewing those applications, checking the criteria has been met against it, scoring it based on that criteria, and then reviewing if it got past the first batch of tests. We then review it for suitability for funding. When that was, when it had met all that criteria, we then forwarded on to a panel with a recommendation for funding, and then that funding was overseen by the minister for that particular portfolio. He then advised us whether of his acceptance or non-acceptance. And then the management of the contract for that funding was fell into my hands, as well as the rest of the team. So I had about 80 projects or funding. I call them projects, but funding contracts that I was managing at any particular time.
Wow, sounds like a lot of red tape and a lot of hassle. Is it worth it going for government grants?
Absolutely. It's so good to work with the recipients of those grants and to see what they were doing in our community. It was really uplifting. The government was targeting particular areas that they could see the need. So as an example, one of the successful projects that I worked on, obviously I won't use names, but was an aged care facility in one of our regions. The government funded 90% of it, and 10% of it had to be self-funded. So that gave them the opportunity to build, I think it was about a 54-unit aged care residential area in that particular region.
Okay, awesome. So let's take a step back. Obviously, you worked as a 9-to-5 job in government, but you then stepped out and became a property entrepreneur, and you're fully focused on your property journey now. Tell us a bit about that.
So yes, about 3 years ago, my situation at home changed. So I looked at what I wanted to do, and I joined your community, and I've been doing a property development ever since. So I'm now self-employed, as well as being able to meet my my other obligations at home.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. Congratulations. And you've also got you went from there into a steel manufacturing business to help, because you saw a problem with your own development. So you wanted to buy up the supply chain to be able to have a building company and build for yourself and others.
That's correct, yes. So as part of my journey with property development, I found it was difficult to get builders to build in a timely manner, and that were financially viable. So I approached a builder, a mate in another state, and I ended up buying an agency agreement from him. So now I'm a licensed or registered agent for property kit homes, project kit homes. And then I went as far as buying a steel framing machine, so I can make my own steel frames and trusses, and for other clients Australia-wide. But at the minute I'm based in Western Australia, but I can arrange for other steel frames to go across the country.
Awesome. And so you also brought with you into your new iteration of your life your experience with government grants. So I suppose if we're looking at it from the what's in it for me point of view as property lovers, it could be twofold. There's grants that you can get as a buyer, so like a first home buyer's grants. But what you're talking us through today is your understanding of grants that we can get as suppliers, in other words, as developers or building or filling a need in the market for the government. Is that right?
That's right, yes. So what you'll see, so there's funding on three levels. One is federal, one is state, and one is local government. The local government, not so much, but they're few and far between. More so on a state level, that's where you'll get most of your grants. The grants will vary in how much you have to contribute, whether they're 50% funded by the government or whether they're 90% funded by the government. There'll always be some form of payment that you have to come up with yourself. However, what they do is they target areas that need housing. There's a shortage of housing, and they're generally released every July, August, and then again in the new calendar year. So about February, they're out again as well. And it's a matter of registering on your state government grants website or federal government. And that way you can check the criteria and speak with an expert that is able to help develop your application.
Okay, so what they might say, for example, is, look, this is a growth corridor. We want to have affordable houses here, and we're going to put X dollars in grant money towards building affordable houses for low-income families in this particular zone or something like that. Is that how it works?
That's correct. So what they'll say is, we've got particular areas that we want to work in, we want to develop, we want to attract investors into those areas, and we will do that by way of 50-50 contributing towards the entire project cost. So as an example, one project could be building 30 homes in a region of New South Wales. There's a grant available at the moment that will fund 50% of the project costs, and that is 50% of the entire project. You have to show proof of the other 50%, but yes, there are grants available that will target growth in particular areas, like you've said.
Okay, and do you buy the property first and then get the grant, or you have to find out if you get the grant and then you go ahead and proceed and purchase it?
It depends. So there are some grants will not be given to you retrospectively. So if you have a project and you've got half and you've bought some property and you've gone through the DA stage and then you're looking for funding to get to the next level and to get houses onto the ground, you would apply at the point where you've got your DA and you're ready to go. But you wouldn't start the project until you had received the confirmation that you have got that grant and you've got a contract in place. Because if you do proceed, you've missed the mark, and therefore you're in breach of the contract. So they wouldn't give you that contract. So it's best to wait until you are successful in getting that grant. So if your grant is to purchase the land and then to develop, don't buy the land until you've been until you've got the grant accepted.
Okay, and how does it work, Lisa? Like, let's just say that they approve a grant and they pay 50% or even 90% of the build costs or whatever. Do I just keep that as a developer?
Yeah, well, sort of. You have, so in your business case that you put forward with your application, there'll be milestones that you must meet. And let's say that you've indicated that you want four payments across your, let's say you've got a $5 million grant and you want four payments of one of 1 million at property purchase. You want one of at 2 million at signing of contract for builder, one at 2 million for your framing stage of your construction. What you would have to do is not only do you have to verify that you've got 50% of the other funds that are towards the project, you would meet that contract milestone. So let's say your $1 million that you want at the project property purchase stage, you would then submit a request for payment of that $1 million. They would request a copy of the executed contract for purchase. And then once they've validated that, they will then disperse the funds to your account within 45 days of receiving that application for payment.
Okay, right. And then are there any rules or parameters around it? Like I can never sell it or I can never use it for anything other than something that they say? Any restrictions?
Whatever you put in your business case is what you have to abide by. So if you say that you are going to sell these properties, that's okay, but you can't say in the business case that you're not going to sell the properties and then go ahead and sell them. No, you do not have to give the money back, but you must behave in a way that is in line with your contract as a director of your companies. You must comply with rules and regulations and do everything that you've told the government that you are going to do. They do checks on what you're doing, and they do have things validated. So you can't request $2.5 million or $1 million and then go and blow it on a new house for yourself. It has to be it has to be attributed to that project at the milestone that you have stipulated in your business case that goes with your application.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So let's just say I've decided that I want to do this. I reverse engineered. I've gone onto my state government website. I've seen that there's certain grants, like what you said, Lisa, 50% grant for, what did you say, New South Wales, acquisition and build, 50%?
Yes. I'll tell you the name of it if you like. I've got it written down here. This one here that I'm looking at the moment for another person is Regional Investment Activation Fund. That one there is funding between $100,000 and $10 million towards a project, but 50-50. With that one there, you would download the requirements for that grant. You check it out and see whether you meet those requirements. And then if you do meet those requirements, you then go about setting up your business case and your application for that grant. There are deadlines, like this one here closes December 24, and it's being funded by the Department of Regional New South Wales. So, I mean, that one there is one that's available to the community at the moment. I don't know what their cap is as to how many millions they're giving out. I just do know that every individual project can be funded between 100,000 and 10 million.
All right. And so if I want to put my hat in the ring and say, can you meet me halfway at $10 million? It then says on the website at that particular grant what I have to do to qualify. So what sort of parameters do they normally give? The area?
The area is a big thing. So whatever the state government is trying to focus on, that's what you must meet. So if it's to build aged care homes in that particular area, it'll be your project must be an aged care facility or something like that. If it's for social housing, your project must target that end user. If it's for rentals for back to the government, they must be at the end of your project be able to meet that requirement. And so, yes, one of the other requirements generally is that you must have had your company running for at least 2 years and have two full financial years of audited accounts available for them to see. One of the other things is you must have you'll have things like buying local, buying within the region that you're purchasing within. You must be an Australian company. You can't have been a bankrupt or anything like that. You have to nominate your teams that you've got working for you. And that's just a couple that off the top of my head that I can think of at the moment.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Lisa. And what about, you said the business plan. What sort of tips and tricks are there for putting together your proposal? Is it like an information memorandum or what?
Much more involved, depending on the value of what you're asked, what were you requesting. Some grants are only requiring like a 6 to 12 page submission. Other grants and that will cost you probably maybe about $2,500 to prepare. I get experts in this area to prepare mine. Through to the more complex ones where you'll have a full business case, a full business plan, a full financial plan, and each of them you would probably have a pack of about maybe 60 or 70 pages. And that's meeting every single criteria of, it's just more complex, every single criteria of that particular funding request. And they can cost anything up to about $30,000 to prepare. So depending on the complexity and how many funds you're looking for. So if you're looking for $10 million, you'd probably be looking at doing a full 60 or 70 page submission.
Right. And are there actual people, experts who specialise in this, or you mean you're going to hydraulics engineers and different people to get different reports for it, or both?
Both. So as part of your criteria, you must have prepared a full budget on this project. So you would have to go out to all your suppliers and get indicative pricing as to what they're going to charge you, because you will need to show that in your submission. Secondly, I engage with the experts to write the business case for me and my grant application. The particular lady that I use over here, I used to work with her at the Department of Regional Development. So I know what she's all about and how much of an expert she is.
So Lisa, in your experience, are there common mistakes or misconceptions around government grants that you've seen?
Yeah, so you need to be aware that project funding from government grants is generally based on a financial year, not necessarily your project schedule. So you need to morph your project schedule to be in line with the government grants, because it will never work the other way. So that's one issue to consider when you're putting forward your grant. Another one is it's not really money for nothing. You've got to work for the project. You've got to be successful with the project, and you have to prove it. So yes, you're being given the privilege of using the government funds to get a project underway, but you've really got to deliver. There's no questions asked with that. So I think that's really important for people to consider.
So do you think it's worth it, Lisa, or is it like really hard slog and difficult to get?
No, it's absolutely worth it. Like I was chatting with a lady this morning, if it's a $10 million project and you're getting $5 million from the government and your profit is sitting at around, in regular scenario, if you wasn't using funding, your profit's sitting at 20%, that's what's 20% of 10 million is 2 million. And then you've got 5 million that the government's putting in, that's 5 million that you don't have to finance. So all of the finance costs, so out of that, you're actually coming out of it with $7 million.
Okay. Well, I like the sound of that. So government grants are the way to go. So we check out our federal government website as well as our state government website and reverse engineer from there and get the experts to write something up for us. And did you get flooded with them? Like, is it like trying to win the lottery or is it people, I mean, was obviously that you've got less money than there are applications, but by a long way?
No, but when I was in that working in that space, there was particular people that knew about them. Not a great deal of people knew about the grants. So it was really there was a lot of government agencies that were applying for them because I think the government people know that they're available. The private sector, there was probably maybe 25-30% were private sector. The remainders were government agencies applying for the grants. So yeah, word needs to get out there and make it available. The situation's changed in Western Australia recently because the royalties for regions has dwindled down. A change of government, that sort of thing happens. But I still, there's like this one that I was talking about in New South Wales, there's still lots out there to be sought and to apply for. I mean, that one in New South Wales, I'd be going for that. If I had a project that I was looking at in New South Wales and I was to pay someone even $7,000 to put a submission together for me, depending on the complexity again, to be able to have a go at getting $5 million towards my project, that's a win-win. So I get to do my project and the government gets an extra 30 homes or 10 homes in that particular area, whatever I'm doing in that area.
And one of the things you said they'll do, I think you mentioned, they'll rent it back from you?
So one of the ones that I'm working at with the moment is a local government. They and you get this across the country. There's a thing called the Government Regional Offices Housing, where they will so rent back off you for a 10-year period. So people in the regions need housing, and your policemen, nurses, teachers, and everybody that works in government roles in the regions needs housing. So to attract people to the regions as part of the salary packages, they offer housing, but there are no houses available. So yes, there's I'm talking to someone at the minute about building houses for them, and then they will rent them back from me for 10 years.
Okay, so and good rental rates?
Yeah, about anywhere between 5% and 7%.
Okay, well, I'm liking the sound of this more and more, Lisa. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for sharing with our community.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Dom.
If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. Just a quick heads up, property lovers, we have our property development challenge this week, which is everything you need to know, live, interacting, doing it together, building up leads to execute and pull the trigger on a small property development. So you're going to get all the software, the tools, the knowledge, resources, the systems, everything you need to transact a small property development. And don't forget, small property developments are still big properties. profits. They're small, but they're mighty. So we're talking 6 to 7 figure profits if you know what to do. And that's what we're working through together. So this could change everything for you. And it's not too late to get on board. Go to the link below, register, and we'll see you on the challenge. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.